Tonight is Rosh Chodesh Shvat. I was told that it's the yahrzeit of Ha'isha Golda Bas Rabar Yaleib, the aunt of both Mrs. Laufer and Mrs. Arbisfeld. So we dedicate the learning to Zecha Nishmasa. We left off, I think we got till the week. Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis.
Yeah.
I think Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis, just to review, the Gemara said that sometimes you need shishim. That's what we always say. If you have an issa, falls into heter, you need shishim. Yeah. And sometimes, if it's a min shein aminai, and someone can taste it, if his truma fell into chulin, so a kohen can taste it to see whether you have the flavor of the truma or not. If it's chazer that falls in, you have to have a non-Jew taste it. So the Gemara says we accept the mevinus of the kfeilo aramoa, of the non-Jewish chef, and he says that it doesn't have the flavor of treifas, so we say there's no tam kikar, it's mutter, even if you don't have shishim. That's the posh of Shanta the Gemara. So sometimes you need shishim, sometimes you don't even need shishim. And what was the third din? The taima, the kfeilo, and the shishim. Okay, right. So the Gemara tells a story. I think we got up to Hano Atmahasa, the fifth line from the top of Tzadik Dalai Mabes. Hano Atmahasa, Tzadik Zayin Mabes. Atma is a big piece of flesh. Hano Atmahasa, so you have to salt the flesh to remove all of the dam. So they salted big chunks of flesh. The din is if you salt a big piece of flesh, even though the salt is on this, top and the bottom and the four sides, it doesn't really, the salt doesn't really affect the, let's say it's so big, so thick, the salt doesn't really remove any dam from the middle. The salt will remove the top inch or two, but it's a big fat piece of flesh, and strictly speaking, after you salted it and you rinsed it off, so the whole thing is mutter. Whatever, there's a ton of blood left. Whatever blood is left is considered moil habasa, the juice of the flesh. You did what you're supposed to do. There's no thing requiring that you have to cut. You have to slice the meat so thinly that the salt will remove all of the blood. It's never going to remove all the blood. There's always going to be blood in the capillaries that's going to remain. So the Maaseh Shahi was that they salted big chunks of flesh bei Reish Galusa, in the kitchen of the Reish Galusa, and they left in the Giran Asher at the time that they were salting it. So the Giran Asher makes everything great. So we paskin la halacha, we paskin la halacha, that's the last three lines on Daf Tzadik Tes on the base. Ain't begidin b'raisin tam. It doesn't give misinus tam, doesn't make treif. But all of these gemaras are going like the Mishnah. The Mishnah holds not so. The Mishnah on Tzadik Vavim Ebeisa, some begid on Asher, does give enough tam that it should ask. So that was the Shaila. Does it make everything treif? How can it make a treif if you salt? If you salt, so the blia goes in, could they cleep it, could they natila, goes in a half an inch, 3/4 inch. How much is it going to go in? There was a big piece of flesh so thick. So Ravina asked the whole piece of flesh, as if the flavor from the Giran Asher goes a foot into the piece of flesh. Ravina asked the whole piece of flesh. Ravacha Barav, sure, he said that it's mutter. Also Shailula Mar Baravashi, yes, Ravashi's son. So he said, my father would have been mata. Abba Shori, my father would be mata. Why would he be mata? Because even if, when you salt treifas, the whole bli only goes a half an inch. It doesn't answer the whole piece of flesh. So the Gemara says, Omele Ravacha Barav, the Ravina. So somebody confronted Ravina. Ravina answered the whole piece of flesh. So they confronted him and said, my daitach, what leads you to believe that the whole piece of flesh is also? If you salt kosher flesh, which let's say you salt fish together, you salt, not all fish are kosher, so you salt together kosher fish and treifa flesh, and you have a lot of salt. You just have a little bit of salt that doesn't cause a blia. You have so much salt that the food is inedible. So Shmuel makes a statement that's just like if you would broil pieces of flesh, kosher flesh, together with nevela touching each other, so it asses because it's touching. So too salting also gives a bliya, and he says, "Kavush arayekim uvushal." Let's say you have kosher and treifa food are soaking together in a brine, and it's soaking for more than 24 hours. Rashi says over here, kovish b'chaymetz, the tavlin. So kovish b'chaymetz of a tzir, if something is soaking in very sharp liquid, so then kovish just 6 minutes, we would asa. Kovish kedesh yala ala eish v'yascha laharsiach, that would be 6 minutes. But it's kovish in water, so then there are three opinions in Shulchan Aruch. How long does it have to be kovish? So one opinion is, the Gemara says, if you soak something kula yoima, it makes a trip. So kula yoima means all day long, means 12 hours, a daytime part of the day, or 24 hours. And then there's a third sheet, 72 hours. Where does it come to 72 hours? The Gemara says, the Gemara says, ish, if it's soaking for a day, so a day is not 72 hours. So we got that because there's such a din. Let's say a pot became treif because I had treif for food soaking there for 24 hours. So how do you have to kasher the pot? So you can do hagola. Okay, that's one way. But let's say it's a klicheris. It's an earthenware vessel. So on china dishes, hagola doesn't work. So you can do libun. Yeah, if you do libun, then the whole thing will break. The whole pot is going to break. So the Gemara has a din. If the whole treif of blia was only aydei kavush, so if you soak it if you soak it for a little more than 24 hours in a bathtub with water, then you change the water, you soak it again for a little more than 24 hours. Then you empty out all the water, you fill it again. You have it soaked three times, a little more than 24 hours, so it's soaking for 72 hours, so the blia comes out. So these Rishayim thought that kibola kach polto, the same way the blia goes in, that's how you get it out. So if in order to get the blia out, usually you say hatorah hidal klicheres, that there's no way to kasha earthenware vessels. So the Gemara understand that's only can kasha earthenware vessels with hagola. That's only if the blia was ayidei ha'esh. If it was a hot blia, you poured some treifa soup into the china dish. But if the blia was like they kovish blia b'tzeinen, so then you can't kasher it. You can kasher with midavir gimayam. You soak it in water for 72 hours. So why is the shear 72 hours? So these we should have understood, because that's the shear to make a treif in the first place. In order that kovish kivavushal should make a treif, it has to soak for 72 hours. But therefore, in order to make a kosher, if you soak it in water for 72 hours, you get the treif of bliya. But that's a problem. It's against the Gemara, because the Gemara says if you soak something, the Gemara says if you soak milk with meat all day long, it doesn't make a treif ben atoira. Because basa b'chala ben atoira, we started from perikola basa. So the isa deraisa basa b'chala is only derach bishul asetoira, lo savasha. If you soaked it in milk, it's only basa b'chala derabon. So the Gemara says, if you soak anything else, any treif or thing for 24 hours, all day long, Gemara's lashon, we soak it all day long and make a treif, and basa b'chala it doesn't make a treif ben atoira, it's only midirabon. So the Gemara's lashon is all day long. So one sheet is all day long means 12 hours. One sheet all day long means 24 hours. That's how we pass it. The third sheet is really kemat against that Gemara that you has to soak for 72 hours to become treif. Those are the three sheetahs. So Shmuel made a statement, maliach, if you salt kosher meat with treif and meat touching each other, makes a treif. And kavish also makes a treif. If it's soaking in water or soaking in a brine, a sharp brine, so it also makes a treif. So that's why Ravina thought that they salted the flesh with the geranosha and a big chunk of flesh, so the treif of blia goes from the geranosha a foot away. It goes 12 inches away, it goes all the way in. So he says, you can't say that they confronted Ravina. How can you ask that? You can't say like that. But the same Shmuel made a comment on the Mishnah. He said, the Mishnah says, Yerach and his bashel ba geranosha. If you cook the geranosha with roitev, so Shmuel made a comment right after the Mishnah on Tzadik Vav Emeveis. The only time the Gidanoshe makes treif, the whole Yerech, the whole side of the animal, is if it was Nizbashel, if it was cooked in it. But if it was Nitzle, it was broiled in it, it only asks the next three quarters of an inch, the next half an inch, three quarters of an inch, that's touching the Gidanoshe, doesn't ask the whole thing. So the Gemara says, what do you have a contradiction? The two statements of Shmuel. Shmuel said, Maliach, he says, Maliach is kireseach, so it means it only asks, k'day klipa, a little bit, k'day klipa, k'day natila. It can't be in the Shmuel contradicts. He says, Malach Kiresech. What do you mean, Malach Kiresech? And Asa is the whole thing. So what's Kavush Kemevushal? So he should have said, Malach and Kavush, Asa Kemevushal. It's not the same. Malach only Asa is Malach, and Tzlia only Asa Kadei Klipa, 3/4 of an inch. And Bishol Asa is Kadei Kula. The Reutav is Meval Balatam. So that's what they confronted Ravina and said, how do you Asa the whole Atmahasa, the whole side of the animal? You Asa because they salted it with the Giranash. And my Daitach, what is your opinion based on? Shmuel, the Shmuel says, Molech Kiresech. No, but Shmuel himself made another statement. Arma Shmuel, Doshan El Hashem is Bashalbo. If the Giranash was cooked with Reutav with the rest of the flesh, then it Asa. Abel Nitzlebo, but if it's just broiled with it, it only Asa's Kadei Klipa. The half an inch that's touching it asks. The chitema. So what is the first statement of Shmuel? Malach kiresech. The chitema my kiresech. The kama kiresech. The mevushal. You're gonna tell me that's what Shmuel meant. Malach kiresech is the same as mevushal. It can't be. V'hamid kama. The second half of Shmuel was kavush. Hariyukim mevushal. If you soak treifus with kosher. So then it's like Bishol, the Bliya goes all the way through and through. Michlal, the inference is that the first half of what Shmuel said, Malach Kiresech, it only asks Kadei Klipa. Michlal, the inference is that Malach Kiresech, the Tzlika Amar. So the Gemara says Ravina is Shver, the Gemara says Kasher, Ravina's Psak is untenable. We say that Malicha and Tzlia only asks a half an inch, 3/4 of an inch, that's all. Doesn't ask Kadei Klipa. Unless it's a dove shomim, that's shayne chelav d'mefafeya. That's what we learned last week in Talitha. That's the Gemara that we learned. So the Gemara rejects Ravina. So now the Gemara is going to discuss. Let's say a little treifus falls into a pot, and you have to calculate whether you have shisha. You have if you would have a if everything is flesh, so you can't give it to a goy to taste it. It's all flesh. Kosher flesh fell in with treifus flesh. So midrabbanan you need shishim. If it's minatore, if it's min mishen amino, you need shishim because tam kik. But if it's min aminoi, minatore it's bottle beroy. We said Rashi shita is not so. Rashi holds whenever you have lach balach, so you always need shishim before you bat an eyelash. You always need shishim, and after you have shishim, if it's still nice and tam, so then some machlekes with the tam kik there. I say Rashi paskins that per shishim tam kik is lab there. I say, and you always need shishim even min aminoi. And after you have shishim, then there's a machlokes when the min b'mina b'mashu are not. After shishim. And Rashi happens to pass min b'mina is b'mashu. We don't accept either. All three Rashis we don't accept. That was the Tosis that we had last week. This big Tosis. Tosis says, we don't pass min b'mina b'mashu, and we don't pass like Rashi, that tam kikar is lav derais, and we pass on tam kikar is derais, by min b'shein b'minai. And we don't accept the other Rashi either. Rashi holds, whenever you have lach balach, you always need shishim before you even bat an eyelash, before you even discuss nesinas tam. You don't accept that. We hold that if you have less than shishim, but there's no nesinas tam, so it's mutav. You give it to a goy to taste, and the goy says it doesn't have the flavor of the treifus, even though there's no shishim. We would be mata. Not like all the three things that Rashi said. Rashi loses over here to all of his grandchildren. Most of the Balei HaTosef were einik lach of Rashi. So they all often disagree. With Rashi. The Rashbam was, there were three brothers. The Rashbam was the oldest brother, the Rabbi Natan. He learned with Rashi. He learned with Rashi. And he rarely disagrees with Rashi. Because he learned with Harusa with his grandfather. Rabbi Natan was a little baby when Rashi died, so he often disagrees. But Rashi, he doesn't say a cough of the Rashi. And then the third brother was born after Rashi died, so he was named after Rashi, Ben Shlomo. He had in the end of Kalabasa, there was a very long Rashi on an Amud Beis on a Mishnah, a very long Arichas, and at the end it said this was all added by Rashi's grandson, Rabbeinu Shlomo Yitzchok. Here it is. Rabbeinu Shlomo Brad Meir. He had his on Kuf Tezayin on Amud Beis with a very long comment of Rashi on the Mishnah. And then you look in the wide lines in Rashi, the fourth wide line, Kei Matzasa B'rimukir Rabbeinu Shlomo B'Rab Meir. The Rashbam is Rabbeinu Shmuel B'Rab Meir, and the Rabbeinu Tam is also Rabbi. Meir was Rashi's son-in-law, and he had three sons. So Shlomo B'Rab Meir was named after Rashi. He was born after Rashi died.
Wasn't there a Rizam?
Could be. He had a lot of daughters. Yeah. So one son-in-law was Rabbeinu Meir. Yeah. The Rivon was also son-in-law of Rashi. That's right. The Rivon was the son-in-law of Rashi. the end of Makkos, the Rivon took over. And in Baba Basra, the Rashbam took over. In Psochem, the Rashbam took over. Yeah. So very often we have outvoted Rashi. His grandchildren have outvoted him. Here on all the three issues, we don't, the whole Yeridei. It's the whole ABC of Yeridei. All the 3 points, we don't accept Rashi Sheet. So the Gemara has the shot, let's say a little Chazas Shmaltz falls into a pot. And in the pot you have Reitiv, and then you have chunks of meatballs, and then you have Knedlach, and then you have bones, and then you have the thickness of the pot. So what could you be mitzaref? And it was cooking there for an hour. And then you identify the tray for salami. Everything else was kosher except for a slice of salami. Throughout the salami, the dog eats it. Fine. So it's mutabana. It's also bachilas mutabana. If you have something that's also mutabana, you can't feed it to the dogs either. That's a bad mistake. You cooked basa b'cholov, flesh with milk. So if you cook chicken with milk, that's only awesome at the Rabbanan. So the Mishnah says it's only awesome bachila mutabana. So you can feed it to the dogs. You can give it to the cleaning lady that she should take it home. That's called getting anor, because she's going to do a better job for you. If you give her something, and it's a nachri hamakira, is going to give you something back in exchange. But if you have basa b'cholov deraisa, it's also manor, so you can't feed it to the dogs. So the Gemara tells a story over here. Omar Rav Chanina, Yishayim Misharim, when you make the calculation whether you have shishim, you take everything into consideration. Misharim beroitev, you mitzarev the liquid, the soup, ubi kippah, the tiny particles that when you have a piece of flesh and it falls, tiny particles fall to the bottom of the pot. So yeah, you mitzarev that also to be mevatel b'shishim ubechatichas. You have chunks of meatballs in the soup, or you have chunks of knedlach in the soup. So you mitzarev everything ubigdeira, and you also include the thickness of the pot to be mevatel b'shishim. What exactly does that mean? That the treifa b'liya spreads evenly in everything with the thickness of the pot. Years ago, pots used to be very thick. The whole thickness of the pot, it's going to spread. So the Gemara has two versions. Ika the Amri, one version has a big deir atzma. Yeah, the whole thickness of the pot. You have to calculate how thick is the whole pot. It's not so easy to calculate. Ika the Amri, the other version has it. Nah. How do you have the right to assume that the treif of bliya spread evenly into the whole thickness of the pot? Ika the Amri, the second version holds no. But my debola kadeir. You have to calculate how much treif of bliya do you think was absorbed into the wall of the pot. It's going to be less. Not going to be the whole thickness of the pot. So Rashi writes over here, this is a real shayla deraisa, and the two versions in the Gemara. So he says, sveika deraisa lechumra. That's the Rashi over here. This is where it is. Let's see. Yeah. The cave in the Fligu Lishne, Rashi writes over here. You look, in my Gemara, it's right next to the Bach by the letter Aleph. But where the Bach's on the left margin, you have Hagos HaBach. So by the letter Aleph in parentheses, so right next to that, it says, the cave in the Fligu Lishne, two versions of the Gemara, whether you have the right to be mitzav, the whole thickness of the pot, or you have to guess how much treif bliya do you think got absorbed into the thickness, not the whole thickness. So Rashi says, since there's two versions in the Gemara, and the issue is Yisur, deraisa was lina luchumra, sveika deraisa luchumra, v'loi misharein mikdeira. You don't calculate as if the whole thickness of the whole kdeira is can be mitztaref to be mevatel b'shishim. The whole, all the knedlach and all the meatballs and all the soup and everything else, yeah. And they keep all the tiny particles on the bottom. Yeah, because the trefa salami slice that fell in, the flavor is going to be mispashit and everything in the pot, but not the whole thickness of the walls. That's the Gemara. Amar Rabba Bo, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, he says the name Rabbi Yechanan, call this him Shabbat Torah, the Mishnah that on Sadi Gvava and Vey says, the Mishnah assumes that Kiran Nasha is nice and top. We pass on that it's not, but the Mishnah assumes that it is. And then how do you calculate whether it's nice and top? So the Mishnah says, Ketza Mishari Mosa, how do you calculate whether it's butl or not? Kibasar Belefis, you consider it as if the Kiran Nasha is a shtik flesh that's treif, and the bliya was absorbed into lefis as a vegetable. So if you had that size, the Giranasha, such a size, if you have such a size of flesh And the whole flesh, you would consider the flesh as if it would be a lefes, a vegetable. Would the flesh succeed in giving the sinas tam in the vegetable or not? So the Mishnah says, as if it's a queer halacha, only by giranosha, that with the flavor got absorbed into the yerech. It can't be halacha l'moshe misinai. We paskin that it doesn't make treif at all. We paskin ain't begin b'mestam. We don't accept the Mishnah. It can't be halacha l'moshe misinai. So Rabbi Yochanan says, the statement in the Mishnah, kibasa b'lefes, that applies to all treifes. Whenever a little treifes falls into a pot, you have to visualize as if it would be basa b'lefes. He generalized, Amrad Hankol Yisrael Mishabatur, whenever a treifa iser falls into a pot full of hetem misharin, and you calculate kilohem botzel v'kaflut, as if the iser, not the same as the Mishnah. Okay, Mishnah says basa b'lefes, so he says you treat it as if it would be a tzibala, a botzel is an onion, into a vegetable. Sure. Amale Rababla Abai, why? So he asks, why should you measure everything the kaflut, the sharinim, the pilpul, and the tavlin? Why don't you treat it as if it would be sharp peppers, and sharp burning peppers? They give an asinas tam, even beshishim, or tavlin, if you have spices. Spices avida l'taima, so it gives dafila b'elaflai b'tela. If you put a little salt into the soup, you can taste it, even if you just have a pinch of salt. You have the elef against it, it's avida l'taima. So amalei, so Abaye answers, Rababa doesn't ishkin kasha. Shira chachamim, the rabbanon established, and that's entirely serim yetzim ibos of the kaflu. That's normal. The normal, that's a yetzim in a klal, if you have treif with pilpulin, or if you have tavlin, that's treif. Once in a long while, you're going to have something that asks past shishim. But normally, the nesinas tam only goes up until shishim, and after shishim, it dissipates. After shishim, you can't taste the tam. So that's what the tradition was. Whatever the isa was, the fountain, whatever had there, it's always going to be the same. It's always going to be like butts of the kaplut. It's always going to be as if an onion fell into a vegetable, as if it's flesh, as if it's basar. What did the Mishnah have? Basar belefes. It's always shishim. It's always going to be the same. Gemara's going to have a machlekes later. Is it shishim or is it mayo? What's the normal shear? That's on the next daf. On Tzadik Ches on the bed, it's going to be a machlekes in the Gemara. We assume shishim, Mishnah.
The onion is sharp, isn't it?
What's it? The onion, yeah, till you cook it. Once you cook it, it loses its whole charifas, so yeah.
That's part of the...
Sometimes if you have a milchik knife and you cut an onion, so the milchik knife, even if the milchik knife hasn't been used for milchik in 24 hours, so we say that the onion is a dovah charif, and it gets out the tray for blia. If it's a milchik onion or it's a milchik knife, or if it's a treifa knife, so it'll make an isa. But if the onion is cooked already, then it loses the whole charifas. Yeah.
Is that true of everything, every double charif that's cooked?
No, it's not. There's such a similar thing, not at all identical, such a related. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a chumrah that not only do you have to wait 6 hours between flesh and milk, you have to wait 6 hours after hard cheese. You have real hard cheese. By us, what we call hot cheese, that's in the cheese industry, they don't even consider that cheese. American cheese, they don't even consider that cheese. Real cheese is Parmesan or something that was aged 6 months. So the Achrayim say, but if you heated the cheese till it melted, then it's always cheese. So it loses its charifas. It's similar to the onion, but other things do not lose their charifas, even after you cook them. After each one, you have to test it and see.
So when cheese is melted, it's not
there, it wouldn't have a dinner for our cheese. Right. That's what they say. So now the Gemara is running through the dinam. Amar Rav Nachman, Gid Anoshe, we don't pask like this. We pask and ain't be given Menos in Tam. The Gid doesn't make trade. This whole Gemara is going like the Mishnah. Amar Rav Nachman, Gid Bishishim, in each. If a gid anoshe falls into a pot full of soup and you cooked it, and then you take the gid anoshe, you feed it to the dog. It's mutter b'hanor. Machlekes, but the gid anoshe asbana mutter b'hanor. Machlekes hatanoim and shulchanach mipaskan mutter b'hanor. So you take out the gid anoshe, but you have to have shishim against it. So the din is gid b'shishim ve'en agid ben aminyan. You need 60 units of heter against the volume of the gid anoshe's, a kazayis, two kazayisim. whatever. So you need 60 units of heter against the 1 unit of Gid Anoshe. Shishim doesn't mean 59 heter against 1 is. It means 60 heter against 1 is. Kchal b'shishim u'kchal min aminyan. Kchal is the udder. So the Mishnah has in Perik Kolabasa, when you shecht an animal, so min ha-Torah, the milk that didn't come out from the udder of the animal till after, was, after it's dead, after you shechted it, so that milk al pidin is parva. Milk is only milchik if you milk the cow while it was alive. The milk that remained in the udder till after you shecht it, so min ha-Torah, you can cook the udder the way it is. But the Rabbanon is going to taste like basa b'chalav. So the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to, you have to cut the chal and try to squeeze out as much milk as possible, and shine, that's all. They didn't want to make, they didn't want to assa the whole chal, so then it doesn't taste good. Years ago, they used to sell it in the butcher shops. It used to be very inexpensive, and only the poor people used to buy it. Rabbi Tendler said, he remembered as a child, his family always used to eat the udder, because his father was a Rebbe in RJJ, so he couldn't afford the he couldn't afford to buy normal meat, so they used to eat chal. So the chal needs shishim, but the chal itself is a piece of flesh. So you only need 59 units of flesh. It means if I cooked, I took the chal and I cooked it with the milk without squeezing out all the milk. So the chal became treif. Then I take this chal and I throw it into a pot with more food. So the din is, you need shishim against the kral, but the kral is also, you only need 59 units against the kral. The kral itself is a piece of flesh. The whole thing is not milk. You don't know how much milk there is in the kral, so you have to be machmer as if the whole thing is solid milk. But the whole thing is really flesh. So the din is kral, the kral that became treif, and now you cook it in a pot with flesh. So kral men aminyan counts as one of the 60 units of heta to be mevatel of milk that's in the kral. If you have a tray for egg, the Gemara is going to discuss what does it mean a tray for egg. An egg from an eagle is a tray for egg, and an egg that has a blood spot it indicates that it had the beginning of the development of life, so it's considered an avela. A blood spot in the egg is not tray, because a blood is only also if the blood appears in the flesh. If you have a Gemara and it starts to bleed, then the real blood, said the din is at its mutter. The walls start to bleed. The blood comes from some other source. So the blood in an egg is not also because of dam. Hilchas dam, it would be mutter. It's also because it's nevela. Because it was the beginning of life of an animal, beginning of fertilization, and the chick never had a shechita. So it's also b'achila. So the Gemara is going to discuss what kind of a beitza are we talking about here. Are you talking about beitza sof tomei, or beitzah streifa, or are you talking about a beitzah from a kosher hen, but it's a fertilized beitzah, it has a blood spot in it? So we're going to discuss it. So beitzah b'shishim, they're not beitzah min amin. You need 60 full eggs, plus the treifa egg. We're going to discuss it, why?
An egg from a treifa chicken is what?
What?
It's egg from a chicken that you determine is treif.
We never learned Perek Eilu Treifas. At the end of Perek Eilu Treifas, Nun Ches, the Gemara has a whole discussion what the din is. The Gemara says there's a machloikis. There's a question in Metzius whether a hen that became a treifer can it develop eggs? A shayla Metzius whether treifer yoledes or treifer any yoledes. If you are treifer any yoledes, so the whole thing is impossible. So it's nothing to discuss. And Marcel, there is much to discuss. If the hen developed an egg and then it was nitrophore with the egg in it, it already developed an egg, then it was nitrophore. So when the hen becomes nitrophore, does the simen treifas only chal on the hen to asa the hen, or does it chal on the egg as well? So the Gemara says there is a general topic that applies both by animals that are pregnant and by human beings who are pregnant, whether ube yarechim or ube lav yarechim. If a woman is pregnant or a behemoth is pregnant, would you consider the uber inside ke'eva me'eva reha, or you consider it as if it's two different bodies? So the Gemara applies it over here. that if you have a hen that developed an egg, and then the hen is nitrifo, so if you have uba yerechimoi, so the simen, the development of the simen treifus is chal, not only to make the hen osir, to make the egg osir as well. If the din would have been treifa, if the din would have been uba lav yerechimoi, it says separate, so then the egg developed before the hen became a treifa. And the simen treifus only affected the hen, it didn't affect the uba, so then the egg would be muta. The Gemara makes the whole calculation. If your trefa is your lettuce, so even if the hen was a trefa and then it develops an egg, it can develop, it is possible to develop, they must have made research on this. I don't know, the Gemara leaves it hanging in the air, whether trefa your lettuce or trefa any your lettuce. If you assume trefa your lettuce, then the hen, the egg will be also later on. But then the Ashaila, it takes two to develop a chick. You have to have a zocher and an akeva. So it's going to be a shaglev zeb zegoyrim. If the rooster was not a treifa, only the hen was a treifa, so it's going to be a shaglev zeb zegoyrim. So all gemara and daf nun ches, it's an important gemara. It's relevant for the issue of abortions. There's an important ran over there that definitely doesn't appear anywhere else. It has a kula. The ran and daf nun ches has a kula on abortions. That's all the posting for.
If you have a blood in an egg, so that can't be worse than a fetus that we learned earlier that doesn't need the midaraisa, doesn't need a stuka, right? So even though that's also the beginning of life, a fetus in a mammal, right? It doesn't need. So let's say you shech the animal.
No, if you shech the mother,
right?
Shech the mother, so the shechita is chal on the ben pekua. But over here, nobody shechted the hen. The hen lays the egg. Okay. Am Rabbi Shabeda, Mishar Shekhal Atzma Asa. If you cook the udder, I have 100 units of meat in a pot. I'm cooking everything together, plus the udder of the that's full of milk. I was supposed to cut it. I'm supposed to be kora shesviya. I'm supposed to cut it crisscross and squeeze out tocha because I squeeze out as much milk as I can. I didn't do that, so I just took the udder full of the milk and I put it in a pot with another 100 units. You have way more than shishim. You have way more than shishim. But the rest of the flesh in the pot does not become treif, but the udder itself becomes treif. Why? Because the milk is going to get absorbed there first. That's called dovuk. He said dovuk. The milk is in the udder. So it's going to get absorbed in the udder before it's going to spread to the rest of the flesh, pieces of flesh in the pot. So the chalatzma min aninyin, even though you have, what did the Gemara say? Nachamol, a chal, where was it?
Chalatzma
asa. The chal itself is going to be asa, even though you have shishim against it, because the milk is more concentrated in the chal. And you have mayo against it, let's say you have 100 units of flesh in the pot, so the rest of the pot is kosher. However, if this chal that was cooked in the pot falls into another pot now, oyser, it lasts of the other pot also, even though you had shishim against it, because the milk was more concentrated in the chal. The milk originally originated in the chal. So even if the chal falls into another pot, it lasts of the other pot unless you have shishim against it. Amr Ravashi says, Gavina Bey Rav Kana, when I was in Rav Kana's home in his yeshiva, it boiled on, we had the following suffix. When you cut, let's say the kal fell into a pot of flesh, and you hadn't squeezed out the milk. So when you're trying to calculate whether you have shishim against the milk, that it should be bought for the shishim, do you have to measure against the whole volume of the kal? You treat it as if the whole kal is full of milk, or the approximately, no, it's not the whole thing. 5%, 10%, 20% of the thickness of the volume of the chal is going to be milk, but not the whole thing. So that was a shaila that they raised. Do you calculate shishim v'didei misharina? You have to have shishim against the whole chal? Or let's say a piece of trefa salami fell into a pot, and then you calculate whether you have shishim against it. But the trefa piece of salami, you take it out and you throw and you give it to the dog. So the piece of salami is still here. So do you need shishim keneged the whole piece of salami? Or you just have to calculate how much flavor, how many flavor means particles from the trefa piece of salami spread out in the pot. So should you calculate 5% of the volume of the trefa piece of salami, 20% of the volume? How do you calculate? Do you need shishim keneged the whole trefa piece? Or just keneged my dinafik minay? How much came out from it? So the Gemara says the maskana. This was the shard of the yes, and then the maskana is pshita for sure. The b'didei masharbin. You have to measure shishim keneged the whole chala, keneged the whole piece of trefa salami, because the even man. Then I think if you're gonna each case, you're gonna calculate shishim keneged how much b'liya came out from it. So every case is gonna be different. No yadina. How are you gonna have roch hakodesh? How do you know how much? You always have to be machmir, even though it's not true. We know it's keneged amtzias. It's not possible that you need shishim keneged the whole volume of the kral, or keneged the whole piece of salami. The whole piece of salami didn't disintegrate. It didn't fall apart. Piece of salami is still here, and you feed it to the dogs. It's an avela. It's a trefa. But still, the halacha is a chumer midirabbanan. You need shishim keneged the whole chatich. The chamavadi is make a little bit, because some of the svarish and rishonim and make they consider it a suffix. A suffix, whether you really need, is not b'toras vada, b'toras suffix. The eve, it might not have been in yadina, how do you know? It's only b'toras suffix, so he was always a big maker. He always has a lot of kulas. So the Gemara says, you have to measure keneged the whole piece. So the Gemara says, ela miyata, if so, that you need shishim keneged kulo, so how come, nofel g'derech eves lo yeser? If the kral falls into another pot, you already had shishim against the whole kral, so if it falls into another pot, it shouldn't asa. We should assume that there's no milk at all left. The milk was evenly spread out in the first pot, and the kral should be muta. So the Gemara says, no, that's ridiculous. Came in the Amar Asar. We assume that the milk is going to be more concentrated than the kral. True, it's going to spread to the rest of the pot, but it originated in the udder, so it's the udder is also shav. So they say, it's not chayzer lehatera. So if the kral that was cooked in the pot, even though you have shishim against it, so the rest of the food in the pot is kosher, but the kral itself is going to remain treif, and if the kral falls now into another pot, you need shishim keneged the whole kral. You need shishim, you don't say that... you already have shishim in the kal against the milk. You don't say like that. That's isa dovuk. We have like that in the Yeridea. So now the Gemara is going to comment on what we said before. If you have a trefa egg, you need shishim against it. What does it mean, a non-kosher egg? It means an egg from an eagle's egg, or an egg that has a blood spot. Which is it? Beitza b'shishim, beitza b'shishim, and I mean, you need 60 units against the one trefa egg. You mean to say the other time, or you mean to tell me that you're cooking eggs? It does mean that you sometimes you buy an industrial restaurants buy a big jar full of yolks of eggs that were all they cracked open 5,000 eggs, and they have all the yolks together and it doesn't have any whites. So there, of course, it's nice and tam. There has no shell on it. We're talking over here, cooking eggs in water, and each egg has its own shell on it. So the shayla is, does the bliya go out? This is an egg from an eagle. All the other eggs are eggs from hens, a kosher, an egg from the eagle is a treif egg. So the question is, but you're cooking in a pot, making hard-boiled eggs. So you're cooking in a pot, and each egg has a shell around it, and the eggs didn't, and the shells didn't crack. Sometimes the shell's going to crack. Yeah. So the shayla is it porous to the extent that the bliya goes through and through, or the shvacha bliya? So he asked the kasha. The memory, you mean to say, he asked Abai the kasha. You mean to say the other time, or that even though you're cooking the eggs with the shell, the flavor goes through and through, but people have an expression when something doesn't give a flavor. Let's say you put flavoring on, and it doesn't have any, you don't taste the flavoring. In Yiddish, there's an expression, "Hamamach malachim eloy hamlucha." You put a lot of salt, and you can't taste it. Hamamach malachim, Baruch Shalom makes kings, but he's the real king. Hamamach malachim eloshin melach eloy hamlucha. But in Yiddish, there's an expression, "Gezaltzen and gezaltzen, nachalfnish gezaltzen." amount you put on a lot of salt, you don't taste it. So they had an expression in the days of the Gemara. Amri Inshi, people had an expression. This tastes like kimaya debeya biyama. It tastes like plain water that you cook the eggs in. You cook the eggs, and none of the eggs cracked open in the water. It tastes like water. You can't taste the flavor, the yolk, and the white of the egg. The flavor doesn't go through and through. Even though the shell is porous, it doesn't succeed in giving in the sinus time. So that's the thing where I asked the kasha, what do you mean you need shishim against the egg? You need shishim against the egg. If you cracked open all the eggs and you have a jar full of 1,000 eggs, the yolks of the eggs, then you need shishim. And it's all shaken up together. Everything is all mixed in together, so you need shishim. But if you're cooking the eggs in water, why should you need shishim? People say that it has no tam. Amri inchi, kimai the baby alma, it has no nesinas tam. We're not talking about an egg from an eagle that you're cooking in a pot with water, because taka, there's no nesinas tam there. We're talking over here. Achmaskina, the Brisa says the egg asas bebeitza sefroya. There was a chick inside. There was a chick inside. An eagle. There was an eagle inside. And it didn't have a chance to crack its way out yet. So you cooked an eagle inside, has flesh. So if you have an eagle inside a shell, that will give nesina stam. Aval tmei aloi. But if you have an egg from an eagle that didn't hatch, there is no efreich inside. It's just the egg. It has the white and the yolk of the egg, but it didn't fertilize. So then the Gemara says, Take, the flavor will not go through the shell, and it won't answer the others. Frag the Gemara, is that true? Is that true? Frag Gemara, Eisvei, they quote a kasha from a Brisa, a Tosefta, Beitzim Tahorish, a Sholkom, and Beitzim Tameilos. It sounds like you're cooking eggs in shells in water. So you have eggs from kosher hens. Shesholkan, you cooked it together with beitzim from eagles, beitzim tomatoes. So it says, Meshmam benoisim tam, kulam asuris. If you don't have shishim in the hetadik eggs against the trefa eggs, the eggs from the eagles, so it says that it's going to asur. So you just said before that a beitza saif tamei and the shell doesn't crack, so the tam doesn't go through and through. And for the Gemara, maybe that Tosefta that says the trefa eggs make trefa the kosher eggs, maybe it's also the beitza safrach. Maybe it also means it had a chick inside, so there was flesh inside. If you just have the yolk inside with the white of the egg, the Gemara thinks that will not succeed in giving the sinas tam through and through the thickness of the shell. But if there's flesh inside, beitza safrach, that it will. Fregmarva might correlate to meyo. That's called beitza safrach. That's an afrech, but the Brisa calls it beitzim toshe shokim beitzim tmeis. Beitzim tmeis means eagle's eggs. So why does the Brisa refer to it as eagle's eggs? Something more. Came this by afrech, currently tmeis, it's a Yiddishism. A trefa egg. Strictly speaking, a trefa egg means an egg from a hen that's a trefa. We use trefa, basa b'chol, we say it's trefa. Anything they can't eat, we call it a trefa. Strictly speaking, this should not be called a beitzas tmeis. It should be called a beitzah sefroyach. Okay, should be called. But Yiddishism, it's a slang expression. Beitzim tameis means non-kosher eggs. Fegmar kasha, how can you say that? Parmidik tani sefer. The next line in that brisa reads, beitzim sheshokim enim sefroyach b'achas mehem. It says if you cooked a lot of eggs together in the shells and none of the shells cracked open, and one of them turns out that it has a chick inside, there's flesh, if the flesh in the shell, in the eggshell, succeeds in giving an asinus tam into the other eggs, so the other eggs were kosher eggs, so it makes everything treif. So that's in the sefer. It says, you cooked all the eggs and one of them turns out to have an afrach, has a chick inside. Michlal, the inference is that the resha, the first line in this tosefta in Shumas, that's the second line on the Amud, Beitzim Toshe Shulchan, etc. Michlal, the inference is the ratio of the lesbe afrach haskinan. Sounds like the first half of the Brisa just cooked kosher eggs with trefa eggs, eagle's eggs. And then the second half is you cook kosher eggs with eggs, and then turns out that one of the eggs has a chick inside of it. Sounds like it's two. The Reisha goes, he didn't discover a chick, and the Seifi discovered a chick. Everything in my name, Perushik. And you're telling me that the Reisha also is only talking about a case where you have an Efrayach. If you don't have an Efrayach, if there's no chick inside, there's only a yolk and a white of an egg, it's not going to succeed in giving Nesinas Tam through and through the shell. So Gemara says, it doesn't seem to be the reading of the Braisa. We say, Perusha come before us. The Sefer is explaining the Reisha. Beitzim Tam Shokim, Beitzim Tmeis, Meyeshim Lesson Tam Kolosos Ketzah. What's the case? Nim Tzefrach Ba'achas Mem. The Sefer is explaining the Reisha. Achanami Mistav, it has to be like that. Has to be. Cannot be that the Reisha goes, it's an eagle's egg, and the Sefer goes, it's an egg with a chick inside. Achanami Mistav, it has to be that the Sefer of the Braisa is explaining the Reisha. Why? These are the Reisha, the Leis Be'afrayach. If you're going to tell me that the first line of the Braisa goes, you just cooked an eagle's egg with kosher eggs, and the Braisa is telling your Chiddush that that will succeed in giving the Sinas Tam through and through the shell, even though the shell doesn't crack. So what do you need the whole Sefer for? If the Reisha tells me that an egg from an eagle that just has a yolk and a white succeeds in giving the Sinas Tam, isn't it a kalachayma? What it says in the Sefer that if you have a chick inside, a dead chick, it certainly gives in the Sinas Tam, such thick flesh inside. Hashta delays be'efrach asura, if it doesn't have a chick inside, it succeeds in giving the Sinas Tam. So this be'efrach me'boy, of course it's going to give in the Sinas Tam. So you have to say that the Sefer is Mefarish Dereisha. Mara says, no, that doesn't prove anything. This proof is not conclusive. Why? Because he could argue, maybe the second line in the Braisa is to explain what the Reisha means. You shouldn't misunderstand. You shouldn't say Reisha is only the Isbei Afreach. The Reisha in the Braisa that it succeeds in giving the Sinas Tam is only if it has a chick inside, a dead chick, it has flesh. Avalez be'efrach sharia, so maybe Tana Sefer, this be'efrach, Mochad Reisha, this be'efrach, Tolachi Asur. So you can't tell, what's the din. If you cooked an eagle's egg in a pot, and the egg was cooked in the shell, and the shell is porous, so a little bit of flavor is going to come out, but the people say, Hamri Inchi, the Velt says that the water that you cook the eggs tastes like water. You can't taste the flavor of the eggs. So the Gemara is not sure. What do you see from this Tosefta and Trumas that they quoted? Do you say that the Reisha is Mefarish, the Sefer is Mefarish, the Reisha? So the only time the non-kosher egg succeeds in making treif is if it has an Afroach. Or do you say, no, that not the Sefer is Mefarish, the Reisha. The Sefer is Megala, that the Reisha is talking the Embo Afroach, and it still makes treif. So it's unclear. So it's unclear what the din is.
What is the status of an egg that has a blood spot in it? You remove the blood spot and you can eat the egg? Or you have to dispose of the whole egg?
And the Gemara says it depends. The egg, one end, hen's eggs, chicken's eggs, one end is pointy and one end is flat. So the Gemara says there are two different versions in the Gemara. If the blood spot is on that end as opposed to the other end, then it's an indication of the beginning of life. Then it means that it's a fertilized egg. And then it's an Issa Nevela. If it's at the other end, then it doesn't indicate fertilization. Then there's no Issa Dam because Dam is only Issa. It comes from the flesh. Because we're not sure which end is the end that asses, so we ask everything. So then the Gemara says, this is only by Medvar Mamurim if there are roosters around available. So then we have to be concerned. The rooster may have made the hen pregnant, and then this egg may have begun the fertilization process, and then it's nevela. If you keep out all the roosters today, they have egg farms, so they keep all the roosters away. They don't want to have blood spots. So all the blood spots that they have, the Gemara calls it safta meara. The blood spots that we have today do not indicate at all that they're fertilized, because they're very careful to keep away all the roosters. They have fences and everything.
So we have no problem boiling a whole bunch of eggs at one time in a pot.
Yeah, so strictly speaking, you can even eat the whole egg with the blood spot. But Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that the minig is that you don't eat it. That's a question. Who says that the minig, that's a minig? Maybe the people didn't realize that everything changed. Is that called a minig? Rav Moshe Feinstein assumes that that's the minig. So he says, the minig is you throw out the whole egg, but if you already cooked, you already fried a whole bunch of eggs together. So the minig is that you crack open all the eggs first and you check one by one. And right. then the blood, the egg that has the blood spot, you throw out the whole egg. But if you didn't do that, you fried all the eggs and then you see that there's a blood spot on one of them. So then Moshe says, then you're not mukhif to throw out the whole egg. You just take out the blood spot. Maspik, if you throw out the blood spot and the rest is mutter. Because Mikaved, then even the blood spot is mutter. Because they keep all the roosters away, and there's no iser of, it's not the beginning of a fertilization, and there's no iser dam, so garnish min garnish. And you have to find that whatever country you go to in Europe, they're careful there also. Some of the modern countries in Europe, they're careful. They keep all the roosters away. They don't want to have blood spots. In America, they candle all the eggs before they sell them. So they try to make sure that they're on the blood spots because they know the customers don't want. So that's why they keep away the roosters. Not all parts of Europe are they so careful. In all the modern countries in Europe, they are careful. That's the Gemara. The Gemara tells us, Tarhu kizayis the tarbo, a kizayis of chelev. Tarbo is real chelev. The nafal bidikula de bisra. Bidikula is a pot. They were cooking flesh, and a kizayis of chelev fell in. And then they found the chelev, and they took it out. A big chunk of chelev. Savar Avasi, or Avashi, whatever the gear says, he thought mistakenly, the shur de mai de bola de kula. He thought that you don't need shishim keneged the whole kazayas of the chelev. Some of the chelev was absorbed in the walls, and some of the chelev you took out. So you have to calculate how much chelev do you think disintegrated, became liquefied in the whole pot. So you don't really need shishim. He thought for a one moment, you don't really need shishim against the whole piece of chelev. So all the Talmidim disagreed with him. Amar le Rabbanan, le Rav Ashi. So the Talmidim confronted Rav Ashi and he said, what are you talking about? Otav dehetera bola, disura loy bola. He wanted to be, apparently there wasn't shishim in the pot. There wasn't enough flesh in the pot to be mevat le chelev. So he thought, maybe when the chelev fell in, there was more soup, and some of the soup was absorbed into the pot. So you should be mitzarif the soup in the pot to be mevat le chelev b'shishim. So the Rabbanan and the Talmidim and the Yeshiva said, what are you talking about? Oh, the terabola, the pot is only balea, the kosher soup, the isura loy bala. You don't know what the size of the chelev was when it fell in. Now I see that it's a gezayis. When it fell in, it could be that it was much bigger. The pot was only balea heta, the pot was not balea iser. So how do you know how big the chelev was when it fell in? So that's where Rashi says, we measure everything the way it appears now. You see the size of the chelev now, it's a kazayas. You see how much heter there is. And if it looks like the shishim, you assume that there was shishim at the beginning also. Even though it could be it's a little kakai. It could be that there was more iser and there was less heter. It could be that there's no shishim. So that's what the Gemara says. We measure it the way it's kimoshu bolifanein. Then the Gemara tells another story. Who palga de zesa? Half a kazayas of tarba, half a kazayas of chelev. A kazayas is the volume of an zayas benini, an average size olive. What's an average size olive? There are different sizes of olives. So kazayas, what's the ratio between a kazayas and a kebetza? So that's in Shulchan Aruch, there are two opinions. But the kazayas, is it half a beitz of beinanis or it's a third of a beitz of beinanis? So what's a beitz of beinanis? It's also I'm not so sure. What's the volume of a beitz of beinanis? The different sizes eggs. We never see small eggs. The small eggs they make mayonnaise from. When I was a little boy, I remember they used to sell smaller eggs in the store. Now you never see those eggs. Now they say either big, large size eggs or jumbo eggs. You never see average size eggs. Our eggs are all very large. So that's a shaila. Kezayis is either a shlish beitza or a chatzi beitza. The Magen Avraham says, halachah l'maaseh, hari paskin. So he says, if you're dealing with a din derabbanan, you have a right to be mekel. That it depends what's l'hokal, what's l'hachmer. And if it's a din deraisa, then you have to be machmal. That's how you have to eat a kazayis of matzah. So a kazayis of matzah on Pesach night is a shlish beitza or a chatzi beitza. So the first night of Pesach, matzah is a din deraisa, so you have to eat the volume of a half a beitza beinanis. Second night of Pesach, the Antav Sheni Shel Kol is only the Rabbanon. So there's room to be made on the second night of Pesach. You only have to eat a chatzi beitza beinanis. A shlish beitza beinanis. I remember Rabbi Schwab used to be the rabbi in Breuers for many years. So at the end of his life, he was very overweight and he had some kind of a medical problem. He wasn't allowed to eat bread all year long, bread, cookies, and so on. So he said, Shabbos Neontem, he never ate bread. But the first two nights of Pesach, he had to eat, even though it was not healthy for him. So he said, the first night he ate a chatzi beitza, and the second night he ate a shlish beitza. That's what the Magen Avraham says. With respect to dinim deraisa, you have to be machmer, whichever one is lechumer, to eat a chatzi beitza. And the second night is only the Rabbanan, so a shlish beitza is enough.
Did Rabbi Yehuda come along and
gamble? The Rabbi Yehuda has a sefer on Psochim. The Tzion Nefesh Chaya, the Tzlach. So in the end of Psochim, the Gemara tells you that a mikveh is Ama Alama Barum Gimel Amas. A mikveh has to be full of water. Ama Alama Barum. And then the mikveh is going to be deeper, but the water has to be Ama Alama 3 cubic Amas. Then when the person goes in, so there's water displacement, so the water goes up above. The height of a person is usually 3 Amas, so the water will go up above his head and he'll be submerged under the water. So the Gemara tells you Amalama brum gimel amas is the measurement in volume. Then the Gemara tells you that this is arboim saw. Arboim saw is a measurement of volume of the water. And amalama brum gimel amas is the measurement in size. So the Nadiv Yehuda writes, he calculated with his fist, an amma is 6 tefachim. The tefach is like this, with the thumb on top, not on the side, thumb like this. So from here to here is a tefach. So he calculated, and it didn't correspond. The 40 he saw with the amalama didn't correspond. So he came up with a chiddush. It must be that nismatu hashiurim, that all the kizesim are half the size. You have to double all the shiurim. So one of the talmidim of the Rabbi Yehuda told him, it's not a stira. The Rebbe Yehuda was bigger than normal people, so his fist was bigger. So that's why there was a stira. So that's what he said jokingly. The Talmud said, the Rebbe is an Adam Gadol. An Adam Gadol means a Talmud Chacham. So the Rebbe is an Adam Gadol. He was taller than most people. And he said, your fist is bigger. So the Rebbe Yehuda chuckled. So that's a machlekes achrenim. What did the chuckle mean? Did the chuckle mean you're right? Did the chuckle mean, what the Eleitonis? I'm an Adam Gadol. Yeah, what has it got to do with this? Ramosha was very short. Moshe was shorter than most people. He was shorter than his wife. His wife was a whole, and when they would walk together, you'd think that that's a mother and a son. She was much taller than him. But Sarah Moshe says he doesn't understand, how can you have a machlekes? How much is a tefach? He measured it many times, and it's always 3.6 inches. How can it be a machlekes? What I mean? He measured on his hand. Measure on someone else's hand, you see. He wasn't an average-sized person. He wasn't at all an average-sized person. So the Nadiv Yehuda, that's a big machlekes. That's a whole machlekes. What did the chuckle of the Nadiv Yehuda mean?
Do you hold that the sizes have changed over the last 2,000 years? The size of the olive or egg? Do you hold that they have changed?
Also,
can we rely on archaeological evidence from 2,000 years ago?
We should. What did they discover? It's the same?
I don't know.
In the early 1900s, they started publishing, the Kitzei Nerdomim Association in Europe started publishing manuscripts of Tshuvas HaGoyim. So one of these collections of Tshuvas HaGoyim, they have a tshuva where they discuss, the Goyim were asked the question, why did the Gemara give Shurim and Kibetza and Kezayas? Why did they give Shurim in millimeters and so on? In inches and so on. What they give funny shurim like that? So they say because inches and feet and millimeters, that's going to change in every generation, every country. But the gezeisim and the kibetza, that stays the same. So Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan saw this. So he said, you see, we don't pass like the Nadi Behuda. They have a tshuva from Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan. You see, we don't accept in Rabbi Yehuda that Niskatnu Hashiurim. You have to, the shiurim, you have to be machmer. Everything, we assume that the beitzim are the same size beitzim, and the alas are the same size alas. If anything, the beitzim didn't get smaller. If anything, the beitzim got bigger. Because the human body probably got bigger. People eat healthier food, and they probably breed the hens, that they should be healthier hens, and they probably have bigger beitzim. If anything, they're not going to be smaller beitzim. Now the Yehuda said the beitzim are smaller and the kezeisim are smaller, you have to double all the shiurim. So we don't really accept that. We don't accept that. One of the gedolim who was killed by the Nazis, the Kozhoglov, he was the Rav Kozhoglov in Galicia before the First World War. He was a big goyin. And then when Rav Meir Shapira founded the Lublin Yeshiva, she invited him that he should give the top shiur in the yeshiva. So he wrote a few svarim. So they have, in addition to the svarim, they have drushes that they printed over the years from him. And every so often they print another Dvar Torah by him. So he has a Dvar Torah to defend the Hasidic practice to make Kiddush on Shabbos morning over a little glazel of schnapps, even though the cup of schnapps doesn't have a revius. It has way less than a revius. A revius is the volume of an egg and a half. So a little cup of schnapps doesn't have at all the volume of an egg. Even a tiny egg doesn't have the volume of an egg and a half. So he defends the minig. He was a chassidish. A lot of his tshuvas had to defend the practice. Some chassidish minhagim and some just minhagim. Why people wear such a tiny arba kamfis? Why they daven mincha late on Friday afternoon? He has a weak minhagim and he tries to defend it. So he tries to defend this minig. So he says, first he establishes that schnapps is not a mashke, it's an oichel. Because the difference between oichel and mashke is not whether it's liquid or solid, but rather is it a beverage or a food. So, let's say water, you drink when you're thirsty. Orange juice, you drink when you're thirsty. Also, okay, beer is a beverage. But the schnapps, you don't drink when you're thirsty. Even the Russians, that drink a lot of vodka, they drink it when they want to relax or they want to be happy or something. They don't drink it like milk or like orange juice. So he said, that's the yisoid number one. That schnapps is an oichel, it's not a mashke. So the shear shouldn't really be revius. Revius is the shear for mashke. So the shear should really be kezayis. So how much is kezayis? So the Magen Avraham quotes machlokes where the kezayis, an olive, is a shlish beitza or chatzi beitza. So how do we pass on aloch al ha-maisa? So the Magen Avraham gave the compromise. With respect to dinim deraisa, you have to go to chumra. With respect to dinim derabbanan, you go to kula. Like Rabbi Schwab said, the first night of Pesach, he eats the volume of a half an egg of matzah, because it's deraisa. The second night of Pesach is only Rabban, he eats the volume of a third of a beitzah. So Kiddush Shabbos morning is only the Rabban on l'chol adeis. Kiddush Friday night, Kiddush is deraisa. Alayayim, that's a machlokes. Whether the reciting of the Kiddush over a cup of wine is that also deraisa. We assume that's only with the Rabban. But Shabbos morning, for sure, the whole institution of Kiddush Shabbos morning is only Rabban. All you say is the bracha. You don't say Yashi Kiddush on himself, so b'rot sabari. You don't say any Kiddush. So that's what the Kozhoglov says, that since Kiddush on Shabbos is only the Rabbanon, and the Schnapps is an Oichel, and the Shear for an Oichel is really Kezayis, so Kezayis is a Machlekes, where the Shlish Beitza, Chatzi Beitza, so since it's only the Rabbanon, you can be Mekel, that a Shlish Beitza is enough. So the Schnapps glass has a Shlish of a Beitza. That's his tshuva, why he defends the Minig. So they have
Oichel on Shabbos morning?
Oh, so that's where Rav Chaim Volozhiner, who came a century earlier, Chaim Volozhiner founded the Volozhiner, he was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, founded the Volozhiner Yeshiva in 1802. So he makes fun of the Hasidim, why they make Kiddush on Shabbos morning over schnapps. He says it's like making Kiddush over a bowl of soup. That's not a mashke. The first klal is, you have to make Kiddush either over wine or chamar medina. Chamar medina means chamar is wine. The wine of the medina. So you have soda, you have some kind of a beverage, but if you make Kiddush over a bowl of soup, that's a Meichel. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner says that you cannot make Kiddush on Shabbos morning over schnapps because it's a Meichel. The Kozhoglover is defending why it's good over a tiny cup of schnapps, because it's a Meichel, therefore the Shiva is Kazai. So once it's a Meichel, so you have your Taina, that's Rav Chaim Volozhiner's Taina. How can you say Kiddush over a Meichel? The first klal is has to be a Mashke. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, but what qualifies as chamar medina? What's considered wine in that chamra of the medina, chamar medina? So he has a whole tshuva, water doesn't count, and soda does count a whole. Then he says in the last paragraph, What continent, where do you live? What am I writing in Jew? Where do you live? Whenever wine is available, say not toast to make Kiddush over Chamar Medina. Chamar Medina is only permissible, you can only use it for Kiddush on Shabbos morning, if wine is not available. New York, wine is available. You don't have wine in your home? Knock on the next door neighbor. Oh, the next door neighbor, I go to the next door neighbor. Everybody has wine. Is an Erev, go to someone's house and make Kiddush over there, make Kamoitzi over Matzah, and then come home and eat. What's the problem? There's always wine available. Yeah. In America, there's always wine. Years ago, the Jews couldn't afford wine. When I was a little boy, my parents lived in Philadelphia, and the day school only went to the fifth grade. So they had to send me to New York to stay by my grandparents to go to yeshiva from the sixth grade on. Then my parents moved to New York. So my grandparents were very poor. Religious people were very poor, so they couldn't afford wine. They used to make raisin wine. Used to make raisin wine. Because they simply couldn't afford wine. Okay, but now Rabbi Moshe says everybody has wine. You ran out of wine, go to the next door neighbor. Everybody else has wine.
Maybe they have in mind that it's Havdalah during the 9 days. Havdalah during the 9 days, so they can't have wine or grape juice.
My mother made Rajan go wine.
Yeah.
So then you need Chamar Medina.
Yeah. Not so bad. And the 9 days, the meaning is you don't have bus of the yayin, but the Makkah Mitzvah you may have. So this gefelah can make Havdalah over wine also. The whole discussion in Shulchan Aruch, whether the minig applies there, you shouldn't make Havdalah on Shabbos, you have bus of the yayin. Havdalah you make on Mitzvah Shabbos, but it's still a Makkah Mitzvah. So that's a whole discussion. Is it proper to abstain from wine for Havdalah in the 9 days or not? So I always make Havdalah over wine, even in the 9 days.
They made on beer after Pesach, no?
Yeah. So the Gemara tells a story. What a chatzi zayis. Ahu palga de zaysa. A chatzi zayis of tarba, of chelev, nafal bidikula de bisra. Fell into a big pot where they were cooking flesh. So since it's only a chatzi zayis, the Gemara has a machlokes in the last perik in Yuma, where the chatzis shira is asma natar midrabon. What's the din if you eat chazer less than a kazayis? So it's a machlokes hatanoim in the Mishnah and Makkos, perik elehin haloiken in the third perik. So one Tana holds that you're loike even on a chatzis zayis. You only eat a kazayis if you eat chela v'dam v'shoigeg, you have to bring a korban chatos. If you eat chela v'dam v'meizid, you chayv kores. If you eat chametz b'pesach v'meizid, Yechayv Kores and Yechayv Malkus. So if you eat it b'sheigeg, then Yechayv Chatas. If you eat it b'sheigeg, then the din says that you need a kazayis. But if you eat it b'mezid, so Reb Shimon is of the opinion, you get Malkus even if you don't have a kazayis. So we don't pass like that. We pass can you only get Malkus if you ate a whole kazayis. So there's a machlekes of Yechayv Mishlokish, and the last parak in Yuma is Chatzis Shir Asim and HaTorah, or is it Asim and the Rabbanon? So we pass like Rabbi Yechanan. Even though there's no Malkus, it is an Issa Derais. So this Gemara, he was of the opinion, Mar Bar Vashi was of the opinion, the Chatzis Shir was only Asa Midi Rabbanon. So he thought the Chatzis Shir, a Chatzis Zayis of Chelev, fell into the pot. So since it's only an Issa de Rabbanon Chatzis Shir, so you don't really need Shishim against it, and maybe Shloshim is enough. It doesn't make any sense. The whole idea of Shishim is that we assume that won't succeed in giving the Sinas Tam. So why should it make a difference whether it's an Issa deraisa and Issa derabbanan? An Issa is an Issa. It's a very strange havamina. Who palga de zeisa de tarba half a kazayis of chelev nafal bidikula de bisra fell into a pot where flesh was cooking. So the ma'bravash and the shir bitlos and palga de zeisa. He thought if you have shloshim against it is genuk because the whole Issa chatzishir is only with rabban. So this was the son of Ravashi, thought like that. So Amalayabuasa, his father Ravashi, told him you're wrong. Lava minaloch, didn't I tell you, like to zalzal bishurim the rabbanon, you shouldn't be mezalzal. You need shishim. The yod, furthermore, chatzishir is asman ator. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, that's exactly the machlekes in Yuma, ein gimlein dalet, machlekes Rabbi Yechanan v'shlokesh, and we paskin like Rabbi Yechanan. The chatzishir is asman ator. So there's no room to be mekel, he says, v'yod, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, chatzishir is asman ator. Very strange why he thought that it was going to be an Issa de Rabbanon.
What about a quarter of a shir?
No, the same. Chatzis shir, Chatzir doesn't mean half. It means less than a kazayis. Even if it's way less than a half, even a little bit. Even a mashal is also asa. Unless it became bottle, it is bottle. Let's say, Mistama, there must be a sailor in the Indian Ocean who threw a bagel into the ocean. So you're going to say all the water in the world that comes from the ocean is a chametz b'pesach is b'mashu. So the achrayim work on that kasha. How can you ever drink any water from the ocean on Pesach? Maybe there's a bagel in the Indian Ocean somewhere, and all the water in the world is going to be a mashu. Chametz b'pesach is b'mashu. If the chametz only fell in before Pesach and it's not there on Pesach, chametz karem at Pesach is bottled b'shishim. Chametz that's still there on Pesach, the bagel is still there and it's giving out a flavor. The chametz b'Pesach is b'mashu. So Mistama the Achrayim answer. B'mashu means that it's not bottled b'shishim, but you have to reach a point where for sure it's bottled. So there is an opinion that beria like b'teila afilu be'elef. But if it's a little more than elef, then it will be bottled. So we don't pass like that. But if you have elef, alfi, alafim, you have a million, billion, zillion, trillion particles of heter against one particle of iser, that's not even called chametz b'mashu. That's less than mashu. You have to reach a point that is less than mashu. The sailor who threw a bagel into the Atlantic Ocean doesn't have to be in the Indian Ocean. Even if it's a lake, even if it's a little lake, it's bottled be'elef alfi alafim. So that's less than mashu. That's less than mashu. That's the Gemara. Chatzishir asa menater. Yeah, whenever there's a machlek zab Yechanan Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yechanan was the Rebbe of Reish Lakish. So we usually pass like Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says there are only three cases where we pass like Reish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan. So this is not one of the three. Usually the din is like Rabbi Yochanan against Reish Lakish. Chatzishir is asman atar. Yeah. Then the Gemara, what does the Gemara continue? Amar Avshem and Barab, Amar Avidi Bar Idi, Bar Gershem, Amar Levi Bar Prota, Amar Ab Nachem, Amar Ab Birayim, Mishum Zakanech, Rabbi Yankim Shmei. Wow. Till he finally gets to the point. A said the name of B, said the name of C. They were so careful about the Masorah. You have 5 lines over here. So finally, someone said the following din. That what's the din? The Bein Nesia Amru, by the Nasi, they said the following halacha. Beitza b'shishim asur b'shishim v'yachas muteris. If you have a treifa egg, and you want to be mevatle b'shishim, you have to have 61 units of heter against the 1 unit of isa. It's not enough b'shishim. Why? Because the eggs have different sizes, not all the eggs are the same size. So to make sure that you have shishim, you have to have 61. Am Rab Zeir, the Rab Shem Barabe, Re'ei, Shatamata Bakvul. What is he saying? What is Rashi say? Re'ei, Mata Oise. You're giving a psak that's unclear. You said you need 61 units of heter. It means 61 units of heter against the 1 egg? What does Rashi say? Mata bagul, hatir b'shishim v'yachas, 61 is muta. Ein cha meforshi behadi dido ilevad mino. Means 61 of heter against the 1 of iser? Or 60 heter against the 1 of iser? What do you mean 61? 62-1 or 61-2-1? It's unclear. What did Rashi say? Bashemim yaval daitam behadidet. People will be makel that 62-1 is enough. Harishnei gedolei hador nishalam mehem v'lo pirshua. They weren't sure. So he says, reishatam atal bagvul heter. You're saying if you have 61, it's mutter. And it's unclear the way you presented it. What do you mean 60 against 1 or 61 against 1? And two gedolim were asked the question, Shnei gedolim ador la pirsha sadab, who are the two? Rabbi Yaakov Aridi, v'shmol barach meinu, t'avai m'shmei de Rabbi Shulman Levi Yam, v'etza v'shish masur, shish v'achaz muteris. You need 61. If a boy lo hodi asked the mashayla, what do you mean? Shish v'achaz badidei, adum le bar m'nei, v'le poshid. They didn't say clearly whether you need 61 heter against the 1 trefe egg, and you are saying it in such an unclear fashion, you're saying it as if All you need is people will misunderstand from you that 60 heter is enough. And the Gedolei Hador said they think you need 61 heter. You need 61 heter in order to make sure you have 60, because not all the eggs are the exact same size. That's why you need 61. Sure. Okay. Itmar, the Gemara quotes the same psak. Amrav Chelva, Amrav Huna, Beitza B'shisha Mehi. Asura, if you only have 60 kosher eggs against the one tray for egg, it's not bottle. If you have shishim v'achas v'hi, if you have 61 kosher eggs against the one tray for egg, muteris, that's how we pass in 61 kosher eggs again. Usually you need shishim, but by eggs you need 61. Then the Gemara tells the story. Who does halakami the Rab Nachman, what's the Rabbi Gamliel by Rebbe? Someone came to the son of Rebbe. Rabbi Gamliel was the chief rabbi after Rebbe died. And he asked the Mashaila, can you be makel that the egg should be bottled or not? Amalei, so he says, my father, Abba Lishibar Boy Mesheva, my father, Rebbe, was not prepared to be makel if you have 47 units of heter against one. Vani, Ashar B'Aboyim L'Chamesh, the Maisa Shoy was that there was 45 volumes of heter against the one volume of Issa. 45, so how can I be makel? My father was machman when there was 47 heter, so I can't be makel 45. Who does have come to Reb Shimon by Rebbe, another son of Reb Yudah Nasi Amalei, Abba Lishir b'mem hey, ani ashab b'mem gimel, he can't be makel. Who does have come to Reb Chi Amalei, klum yeh shloshim, there isn't even shloshim. What does he say, there isn't even shloshim? If there would have been shloshim heter, then you would be makel. Freg Martan, the lek of shloshim, he could shloshim asharim, shloshim is enough, very strange. It sounds as if shloshim is enough to be mekel. It's not so. You need shishim. You need the 61 heter, 61 units of heter, 60 units of heter. But no one says shloshim is enough. It's a strange loshim. What does Rashi explain? Because shloshim sharin a bit tmiya. Yeah, they just asked it. So it doesn't make sense. Why did Rav Chiya use such a loshim? There is, you don't have shloshim. And if you would have had shloshim, would have been still been awesome. We don't understand.
47
yeah, I'm Rab Chanina Guzma. Rav Chiya said you don't even have shloshim. Even if you would have had shloshim, would have still been awesome. You need at least 60 or 61 yoms, but they're not making shloshim. Sure. So that's a story by the eggs. Okay. So what's the din called a terkula? So the normal din, you always need shishim. Sure. So that's going to be, the next Gemara is going to have a machlokes. Is kol ha-terkula, the shir should really be shishim, or the shir should really be meyah? Where does that come from? So the Gemara is going to explain, we'll have to learn the next week. The Gemara is going to explain, there's a din in Parshas Nasai. If a person wants to accept upon himself to become a nazir, so a man or a woman, isha or isha, has the right to become mekabel net nazirs. So once the person is a nazir, so there are three prohibitions. There's tumah, he's not allowed to attend a funeral, not allowed to go to the cemetery. And tiklach, he's not allowed to take a haircut, even if he takes a ned and naziris to be a nazir for 25 years. It doesn't have to go with units of 30 days, it's a minimum of 30 days. You can have 30 years if you want. So he's not allowed to take a haircut for all the 30 years. If a person takes already nazir oilam, then there's a din, he takes a haircut every 30 days. But Nazir Adam is not in Chumash. Nazir Adam is Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. In Chumash, you only have a Nazir, and he's not allowed to take a haircut till the end of this month. And then grapes and Yayin, those are the Gimel Midim. Tumat Teglachas and Yayin are the Shlosha Midim Asurim L'Nazir. When the Melosab, the Naziris is up, then the Nazir has to bring Karbonis, and when he brings the Karbonis, then he's permitted to be Metamei L'Mesim, to drink wine, and to take a haircut. So the Torah says one of the karbonis, if he becomes nitma, he has to bring special karbonis, he has to have hazal shleishi shviv, pour aduma water, go to mikveh, and then he has to start counting all over again. But whenever the nazir completes the naziris, the 30 days or the 30 years or the 5 years, whatever it is, he has to bring a set of karbonis. So one of the karbonis that he brings is a shalmei nazir. He has to bring a shlamim. So shlamim is nechal to Yisraelim. It's not kochim kochim. Kochim kochim is chatas and anoshim is only eaten by zichri kuhuna in the azara. Shlamim is nechal by the Yisraelim, a Jewish person is to. He can't give it to a goy to eat. And can't give it to an Adam Tomiti. Have to have Tahirim Yisraelim. Tahirim can eat it. So the Zraya is of the Shalmei Nazir is cooked together with the Shalmei Nazir in the same pot, and the Zraya can only be eaten by the Kohanim. So you cook it together? So how can the rest of the Shalmei Nazir be eaten by Yisraelim if you cook it together in the same pot with the Zraya, and the Zraya can only be eaten by Kohanim? Doesn't it give an Asinus Tam? So the Zraya gives an Asinus Tam, so the whole Shalmei Nazir should be restricted. Only Kohanim should be allowed to eat it. So the answer is no, the flavor is butl. How much is it butl? Do you have shishim or do you have mayo? So that's going to be a machlekes. What shach machlekes? Take an animal and figure out. But you have shishim. Mara says no, it's a machlekes and halacha. It's a shaila. How do you calculate? So believe me, the next week we'll have to start that gemara. Whether you calculate kolatar kula shishim or kolatar kula mayo. The Tosfos is going to say the whole Gemara is only an asmachta, because it's all min b'minay, flesh and flesh and flesh and flesh, and atara is bottled beroves. So the whole thing is all an asmachta. And Rashi holds not so. Rashi holds no, it's a real din. Whenever you have lach b'lach, you always need either shishim or meya, and then you discuss min and mashim. You don't get the first base before you have the shishim. So that's going to be a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, whether the next Gemara is a real drashig Gemara. But the whole thing is just an asmachta and the rabban. This week said when Parshas Bai, we have the first mitzvah that was given to the Bnei Yisrael was the Kviyas Haluach. So the Rabban Shalom tells the Bnei Yisrael, HaChodesh Zalachem Rosh Chodoshim, that Chodesh Arishain by the Umas Olam is Tishrei, and the Chodesh Arishain by Bnei Yisrael is Nissan. That's the opening Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah has like that. It says when you were, the practice used to be in the days of the Tanoim that when they would write a document, we write how many years it is since Briyas Olam, the year 5778. It may not be so accurate with our number. Tavshin Ayin Ches is on the assumption that the Baisheni only lasted 420 years. Many historians claim that Baisheni lasted way more than 420 years. Many Achrenim assume that they're right. So all of our Shtoris are puzzles. So the answer is no. We write in the Ksubis and the Shtoris, we write the Minyashan Amonim Kan, the way we calculate it. See, even if it's incorrect, that's the Minyashan Amonim Kan. They didn't always count like that, the Lebrias Olam. That's a recent thing. They always used to count how many years it is since Hakamas HaMedina. In fact, the Mishnah says in Gittin that if you wrote a get and you didn't write how many years it was since 1776, since Hakamas HaMedina, so the get is puzzled. So the Balei HaTosfos says, how come we don't do it? They lived in France and Germany. They didn't write how many years it is since Hakamas HaMedina, the French government or the German government. So Tosfos says, the whole reason why it's possible that he ever made the Rabbanon is because of Shlom Malchus. The government was makbid. And all important documents they wanted there were makbid. They want you to write how many years it is since Hakam Samadina. Now the government couldn't care less, Tosfos says. So the whole takana doesn't apply. You don't have to write how many years it is since Hakam Samadina. But for so many centuries, that's what they did. So when they started writing how many years it is since Briyas Olam, they never did that before. There was no tradition. So they started to make a whole calculation quickly. So when they made the quick calculation, so they assumed that the Baisheni was 420 years. So that's a question. Maybe that it's off by 150 years or so. So the opening Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says, when you have a Goyish king was appointed, so you write how many years it is since this king was appointed, and you don't go to the date. The government was established July 4th, so you have to wait till next year, July 4th, that's Shana Shniya. Starting from July 4th, Shana Shniya, since Hakamas HaMedina. And next year, July 4th, is Shana Shlishis. So Gemara says, no, when it comes Echad B'Tishrei, that's Rosh Hashanah L'Malchi Yom Mesoylem. So if the new king took office a day or two before Echad B'Tishrei, before Rosh Hashanah, so when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, so any Shana Shniya L'Malach Plani. And if it's Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't depend on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Rosh Hashanah depends on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Because the Pasuk HaChodesh says, Alachem Rosh Chodeshim, Lachem V'loilu Umas Olam. For the Umasoilam, the Rosh Hashanah is Ech B'Tishrei. And for the Jewish kings, the Rosh Hashanah is Ech B'Nissan. What is that all about? So the Nitziv has on today's Sedra, in his commentary on Chumash, he quotes the Rishonim say that this is a real din deraisa. It's not stam a convention, that was the minig in the days of the time. He says, no, it's a real din, that when the Rabban Shalom created the world and Shesh Yismei Bereshis, he instituted all the laws of chemistry, physics, biology, and mathematics, and astronomy, and so on, and he instituted rules and regulations of history as well. And if you understand the rules and regulations, if you understand the matzav, and you know the rules and regulations, then you can predict the future, what's going to be in the future. That's in world history. And the Jewish history is lamala menateva. Echad b'tishrei is when the Bria was created, so all of secular history, all of the world history is part of the Bria Soilam. So we celebrate Bria Soilam, the beginning of Bria Soilam is Echad b'tishrei. So all of history, all of world history is considered a new year when it comes to Echad b'tishrei. But the Nisan is the Chodesh HaNisim, the Chodesh HaGeula. The Gemara has a tradition, B'nissan Nigalo, B'nissan Asirim Lehigoyel. The Pasuk says in the end of Yecheskel that the Bais HaShlishi will be open for start to function starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's the Geula. The Geula means that when you have Ashuas HaShchina in the Beis HaMikdash, that's the Geula. So the Pesukim say, it doesn't say which year, but it says Be'echad B'nissan, they'll start bringing the Karbonis in the third Beis HaMikdash. So B'nissan Nigalo, B'nissan Asirim Lehigoyel. Nisan is a Chodesh of Nisan, of Anhagav L'mayla Menateva. So all of Jewish history is L'mayla Menateva. None of the rules and regulations of history apply. That's what the Ramban writes on Chumash, that whoever doesn't believe in this passage in the Gemara, that Ein Mazal Yisrael, that the Gemara has the concept, you can look into the constellations of the stars and you see what's in store in the future. So that's called Shlitas HaKochav V'Hamazal. So that's only so with respect to world history, that it's governed with rules and regulations, just like rules of physics and chemistry and biology regulate the rest of Teva, so the rules of history regulate the world history. But Jewish history is L'mayla Menateva. Ramban says, does it make sense when the Jewish people observe the mitzvahs properly? So V'nesati Gishmeichem Be'itam, it'll rain, the Rabban Shalom will give you rain, and we'll live in Eretz Yisrael. When we do Averis, we'll be chased out of Eretz Yisrael, and it won't rain. That doesn't make sense. When we do mitzvahs, we go up. When we do Averis, we go down. That doesn't correspond to anything. He says Jewish history is always l'mala menatel. So that's today's sedra that was given to Bnei Yisrael. Chayush has halachem, lachem v'lo l'umas oilam. The Mechilta says the umas oilam count from Tishrei, because all of their history is part of Teva, and Jewish history is always l'mala menatel. My father, I remember, had a book in his library that was called Stranger Than Fiction. It was all about Jewish history, and Jewish history is stranger than fiction. You look what's happening now. The whole thing is stranger than fiction. That the American government, after so many years, should declare Jerusalem as the capital. This is l'mayla menatev. Nothing makes any sense. Everything in Eretz, nothing makes any sense. Everything Jewish history is l'mayla menatev. That's the inside of today's center. Okay, next week, believe not, we'll start the new Gemara. I don't know, you know, I'm